For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years in playing PlayStation and 8+ years in that games media combined. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. If you are on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating, which can now be done on Spotify. So if you're on Spotify, give us some love there. But yes, if you leave a comment, I'll endeavor to answer every single one. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. We are back. It is 2022. And we are back to talk all the PlayStations. How are you, Max?
Don't say that like you, like 2 minutes ago, you said it was 2021.
You know how hard it was for me just to get the correct year? Like for a moment, I went, 2020? No, that's not right. That's 2 years ago. Two is too many twos. It feels like 2022 as in T-O-W because it's the same shit again, just years later.
I'm getting that weird feedback from you.
As a
BT Dubs.
Yeah, heads up. I'll have to.
I'm getting that little buzz.
That's fine. That's all good.
I don't know what the fuck's going on. Last time I couldn't hear it, but now I can.
Yeah, I will. I'll fix it in post. It's new year, same tech issues, same just lack of skill and ability. but it's all good. We're very happy to be back. It's been what, 3 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
3-4 weeks.
Yeah, but
close. Just shy of a month. Yeah, just shy of a month.
Just shy of a month off. But how are you been, Max? How has your month off been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mentioned this in our last show last year, but I had my mom come down to visit, so that was awesome. Then obviously we've had Christmas and New Year's. I've just enjoyed having time off work. I'm now back at work, which is, but again, we're also still not super busy because of the nature of the work that I do. I work in an office and apparently we still can't go into offices. So yeah, it's just getting back into that routine now. So now that we've kicked this back off, I think my routine's pretty much back on track now.
Good to hear.
What about yourself? How was your extended holiday period?
Mine wasn't too bad. It was like, because with having Christmas and New Year fall on the weekend, it actually extended the leave for me. So normally I'm back earlier in the year, but because of everything, the way everything was spaced, I got a little bit extra time. So I myself only went back to work this last week at time of recording. So I went back on the 10th after, 3 weeks off, 3.5 weeks off, which was awesome. By the way, like, it's one of those breaks, you know, when you really, really need the break. And like, I kind of enjoyed just not just sort of having the freedom of the days of going places, you know, doing things. Like, I spent, you know, stack of time with James. He and I went to the skate park a number of times. We just went gallivanting, you know, the family. It was fun. It was very, very good. And then I just kind of existed for a while, which was nice. It's good to sort of like exist. And then not have to worry about the responsibilities of work and stuff like that. Of course, there was challenges. There's always challenges on a break. So it was a bunch of different things. But no, I still really, really enjoyed myself where I could. Did you play any games over the break, Max? Because that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, so one of the main games I actually picked back up on my break, I'll talk about again a bit later in the show, but I've jumped back into Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Damn, that game is big.
It's so huge. It's massive.
As we alluded to in our social tweets, we're doing something of a backlog challenge this year, and one of the games that I really want to get through is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So I picked that up early in the new year. I've been playing that on and off, and then obviously I've got all the games that I usually play. Still farming Diablo 2 gear. Still playing Rocket League. For a while there, I got bored of Rocket League and decided to jump on the PopC account and play Rocket League in a lower elo, and instantly got ranked in the same elo that I'm currently ranked in.
Yeah, it was funny. You hit me up. You're like, "Hey, do you mind if I play? Do you mind if I play Rocket League on the PopC account?" I'm like, "No, why?" Oh, cool. I just want to destroy a bunch of people for a while. Like, I need to feel good for a reason, so I'm gonna do it.
So I went from unranked to champion in a night. That was fun.
Damn. Got some trophies too, which was tidy. Wait, did you get a plat?
Nah. I gotta play offline to get a plat.
Okay, I'm pretty sure the PopC account doesn't have a plat. So if you were the first to get it one, that would be a nice.
No, I think it does. I think I got it one.
What did you do?
What did I do? I'll have a look. I'm positive I got a plat on it.
Potentially. Look, it's unimportant. But yeah, so you went back and did some Valhalla?
Yeah. I remember why I stopped playing it. I lost about 4 hours of gameplay the last time I had played it. My save file corrupted, which was kind of sucky. So I dove back in and I'm like, I kind of remember already doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm still fairly early on. I've just kind of gotten to where it all opens up. But I'm really enjoying it. So I think that's my main backlog game of this year.
Yeah, but we got some more backlog games to talk about a little bit later. Mm. We've got some kind of long term plans for this year, and a lot of those are kicking in today. So that'll be pretty cool. Was there anything else you spent time with in the games?
Just the usual, like League of Legends. Still doing all that fun stuff. I haven't really played much.
Yeah, no,
I kind of wanted to like enjoy my time off. You know, I spent a lot of time with my family in my time off, and I napped a lot.
You did,
like a lot.
So you and I were chatting across the break, and there were times where you were just asleep.
It was funny. We caught up a couple of times, and you're like, you just look so tired all the time now that you're on break.
Yeah,
and then we caught up after I'd started back at work, and you're like, geez, you look good today. I'm like, yeah, I slept for 3 hours. It's great.
Like you look somehow, like you have less sleep and you've done a night shift and you somehow look better. I don't know how you did it, but you look better.
I think I napped every single day I was on holidays. I just fell asleep on the couch. I like full on went full dad mode and just passed out. It was great.
And the vision in my head is, yeah, it's because obviously post Christmas, full tum-tum, lean back.
I'm in my rocking chair. And you're gone. Like, yeah, I'm gone.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Let me think. So what did I do? So I one of the first things I did on break in terms of the games was I rolled credits on Death's Door. That game is fantastic. My thoughts on it from last year still stand around the idea that it is very, very good. However, the praise of Game of the Year from many is, I think, a little bit not unearned, because it is very, very good. I think it's a bit overzealous. Might be the right terminology for that, because although I really enjoyed myself, it didn't quite live up to that level of hype, expectation, whatever. It is just not getting there for me. Really enjoyed it though. I got it done in just over 10-ish hours, which is kind of ball bags after chatting to you, and you're like, hey, I'm watching Games Done Quick, and they did it in 58 minutes. I'm like, what do you mean 58 minutes? They literally knocked my time off by like, a lot. They did it in 10% of the time that it took me to finish the game, which is ridiculous. I spent a lot of time in Far Cry 6, actually. So when I have wanted to sit down and play something, I was thinking about playing something that I could kind of zone out a little bit and just sort of you know, just not think too much. I had podcasts to catch up on. So I just sat there and I started, I cleared my third area now. So like I've really put a lot of time into the game, just bit by bit, just shooting things and moving on and just sort of going through that. But the one game that I have picked up and I have thoroughly enjoyed playing it again. So Max and I, we all caught up with PopC founder, host of For the Players, Josh Saunders. We caught up for the first time in like 10 months. We all went out for lunch together, had some beers, and he was like, "Man, I have dived so hard into the Division 2." And I was like, I did buy the Gangs of New York or Warlords of New York, whatever the fuck it was. I did buy that DLC a while ago and I haven't jumped into it. He's like, you probably should jump into it. So I did. I reinstalled it back on the PlayStation and I think I spent more time playing The Division 2 than anything else over this break. Like,
you did better than me. I reinstalled it, opened the map to see what I was doing and the game crashed and I'm like, fuck you, and uninstalled it.
You say that that did happen to me in a different game. I'll get back to Division 2, but that same thing. So obviously Witcher Season 2 dropped over the break and you were talking about it, you know, Millie was talking about it, like other friends of mine, like everyone's praising
the shit. Literally everyone's talking about it.
Like everyone but me was talking about The Witcher apparently. I was like, you know, I never really gave that game probably its full time, right? I really didn't. I gave it a go, but like I probably could have spent more time with it. It was just too dense for me at the time. I forget what I was doing, what else I was doing, but I was like, it's too much. So it was on sale for like $7 digitally. I was like, look, if it's digital, there's a higher chance I'll play it because I don't have to get up and change the disc. Like when my ADHD brain kicks in and that impulse to play it is there, it's easily met because it's right there. I don't have to fuck around. And that is probably going to likely incentivize me more. So I bought it. Installed it on the portable hard drive that's plugged into it. It crashed and Neon crashed the fucking drive. I had to like essentially somehow rebuild that drive. It was such a bastard. But I got there. I got there and now I can play things on it again. But yeah, Division 2. That gameplay is so good. Like when I remember reviewing it like X amount of years ago. And the thing that I loved the most about it was just its gameplay. I still have no idea what's happening in the story. I don't know. And a story about this flu that people catch from off money, like a pandemic corrupt, you know, destroying the world. It seems really unrealistic to me. I don't know. It's hard to suspend that belief. Yeah, I can't suspend the disbelief on that. Like that cognitive dissonance is just not there for me. I don't see how a world would go to chaos through a pandemic. I really don't. But yeah, playing it's been fantastic. The gameplay loop on it is just so damn good that I'm enjoying it. So there's a trophy in the game for like do all the main missions on hard. I'm like, okay, because my gear score is like 500 or something, which I don't know whether that's good or bad, but I think it's okay. Obviously, not having done any of the DLCs yet, I'm sure it'll cap even higher. But yeah, like it's just so good to go back and keep playing. And then I say that like Josh was like, you should play it, and we'll play together. Haven't played with Josh at all, and you're like, yeah, I'll jump on. I haven't played with you either. Completely continue playing it solo, exactly like before. At least I'm consistent. But yeah, other than that, so we're currently playing something that we can't talk about, but there's something in the works. Keep an eye out, because one of the things we want to do this year, Max, we'll touch upon this now. So for those that don't know, like obviously we have this show every week and that comes out every Monday, as I'd like to hope you know because you're listening to it right now. And one of the things that we're wanting to do is create not supplementary content, but additional content. I guess it's the same word, right? With the idea is that if we get access to a title, previously we would just hold off until the show aired. Like, so even if the embargo was a couple of days before, we'll just hold off and talk about it on the show. You came to me and went, I'm kind of sick of that. I want us to hit embargoes. I went, So you want to do some separate stuff? Sick. Let's do it. So we're going to look at doing sort of, yeah, supplementary videos, whether they be review discussions about a specific game in order to hit set embargo. So it's a total ripoff of what Player 2 is doing right now. Even though I'm pretty sure Padge and I came up with it together a while ago, and he just ran with it because he's better at this than me. But yes, there'll be supplementary videos, which will probably be under the banner of For the Players, or the what I jokingly called More the Players, which makes me laugh every time I think about it. So you have More the Players, and there might be some deep dive chats or something. If there's something specific about the week that we want to deep dive in, or we want to bring someone on, we will...
I think we're... Sorry, finish your thought.
Yeah, or we want to bring someone on. So say if we want to have friends of the show like Shane or Padge or Joel or anyone, right? And like, hey, you want to come in and talk about this very specific thing? An example, right, is Gran Turismo 7. So neither Max or I really know a lot about sim races. We don't. Simply don't. However, I've got a mate of mine in the US. He runs a show called the DualSense Pod. He is a huge sim racer. So I'm going to get him in, and we're going to do a More the Players about GT7, because I can't answer all the questions. We're going to play it, but they're going to be the point of expert. And they may not be able to come in and do an episode with us, but we can at least do a big hunk of a segment with them. Is that what I'm thinking? Let me know in the chat and whatever, and on the socials if you think that's a good idea. But yeah. What were you saying before I rudely interrupted you?
I was going to say, especially with some of the titles that are coming out this year, I think a lot of them will... deserve that even to go fast as like maybe a spoiler cast, depending on, how quickly we can get through it. Obviously, we won't drop a spoiler cast at embargo. That's just absolutely crazy. But, Horizon Forbidden West coming out this year, I think it's going to be one of Sony's major tentpoles for this year. I think it deserves, an additional discussion about how, what the changes they've made from the first game to the second game, how it's going to, as Paul James puts in the chat, we still need to catch up and do a Tales spoiler cast.
Yeah.
I am totally down for that.
Yeah, and I think that's the idea. The idea is like, so whether it be like a review discussion or, hey, let's deep dive on something, which in this case would be a spoiler cast. Like, hey, Horizon's out. It's been a couple of weeks. We've all played it. Let's sit down and smash it. Let's really break it down. Because one of the things that we did years ago, 4 years ago now, when God of War released, Josh and I did the God of Lore. With the idea is we sat down, we really broke down the ins and outs of what lore the game touched upon and how it altered it and how it worked with it. And that was a ton of fun. That was a regular episode. But like having stuff like that in addition, I think it'd be really cool. I think it'll be really, really cool. That's how I'm thinking anyway. That's where my brain's going for something cool later in the year. Was there anything else I played? I don't think so. I think that may have been it. Played some Rock Band.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. See, the problem is when I moved it from the PS4 to the PS5, it actually, some of the stuff corrupted, which bummed me out. So there's a bunch of songs that I simply cannot re-download for whatever reason, because they're no longer available or licensed or whatever. Like, they're simply not on the servers. And that's bumming me out. Bumming me out. What are you going to do? I'd like 700 songs.
Because I'm an idiot, it took me like an hour and a half to sync the guitar to the PlayStation 5, because I didn't realize it was turning the PlayStation 4 on in the other bedroom.
Oh, good call.
It's like, why aren't you syncing?
Padge in the chat, that God of War ep is still the best piece of content from Pop C. Oh, damn. Shane is missing the Rock Band days. I love Rock Band. I still love it. And like, it's disappointing now that Harmonix has been purchased by Epic and they're working on stuff for Fortnite exclusively. Like, they still release songs every week, tracks every week, which is great. They are getting more diminishingly like bad. Like, they're just getting worse each and every week. But there are some that come through, but like, there is no chance we'll ever see another Rock Band. It's never happening. And that kind of breaks my heart, because I've got all these plastic guitars that could...
I mean, that's not... I wouldn't say it's never going to happen, because I can totally see Fortnite making a fucking rhythm band game mode where you can buy band skins.
Rock Band is built for microtransactions.
I mean, you can monetize anything in that game.
Fuck, that's a very, very
good point. And they'll sell us NFTs of songs.
That's horrible. They'll do it.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's everything that I played. Anyways, before we jump into the news, let's continue the section that we do. It's called our Get Less Fat update. So for those that don't know, I started a weight loss journey in 2020. Holy crap, that was so long ago. Max started one in 2021. We're using a product called The Man Shake. I am an ambassador of the product and they help support this show. So Max, it's essentially been a year since you started your weight loss journey. I'm about to hit 2 years. Now, obviously, with the break, we can discuss how we went on the break. But
I haven't gotten back onto it since my break. I'm still 100% on my break, but I lost a total of 17 kilos over the course of the year.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
So I'm pretty stoked about that. But yeah, I am still 100, despite the fact that I'm back at work, back in my routine, I am 100% still in holiday mode.
Yeah.
I've been a bit loosey-goosey, but that'll change.
So you are jumping back on? You want to keep going?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, so...
After going skating with you and James that day, I was like, I can still do this if I just get, you know, slightly more fit. I've got this.
I think that's the plan. I think
that's
the way to go.
I might have to start coming on skating trips with you and your
kid. Do it. Yeah, man. So look, so for me, you said, I think I talked about it at the back end of last year. So I hit my weight loss goal. I lost 40 kilos from start to finish. That was my goal. And then I went, fuck it. And then I just I continued doing the shakes for breakfast and lunch. And then I just started getting, I've hit my goal now. I'm hitting Christmas. That's party. So I ended up gaining about 3 kilos back over the break. I lost most of it. And then it kind of bounced back a little bit again.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, only putting on 3 kilos over Christmas and New Year's, that's not bad.
Yeah, I played a really good game. I ate a lot of shit that I shouldn't have. There's a lot of chocolate and stuff because, you know, gifts of chocolate over the break. But I didn't because my habits have changed in general, I didn't really feast upon myself like I previously would have. Hey, look, I say that so today a friend of mine, Meg, so she makes this lemon cake. I've consumed so much of this cake today alone. I think I've had one shake today and everything else I've eaten is cake. It's a bad call, but, I'm happy that I did it because it is incredibly nice cake.
I mean, on Christmas Day, I was literally eating potato salad sandwiches, just carbs on carbs. I'm just There was zero fucks given over Christmas.
That is actually a very impressive sandwich, by the way.
Yeah, egg and bacon in bread. It's just
that's actually pretty fantastic. Yeah, I not too bad. My sister was in Queensland. My dad was working, so I didn't really have the big Christmas lunch that I normally have, big roast. So that's normally where I get my fucking gorge on, and that didn't happen this year. So I think that may have played a role, but we turned out okay. Zill in the chat. On a side note, Max, know everything about lollies and chocolates from the last 30 years. He's like Candy Yoda. Is that a reference that we're not aware of?
Yeah, he sat there and quizzed me the other night. He's like, you remember this candy? I'm like, yeah, this one that comes in this packet. And he's like, yep. For 45 minutes, I think I got stumped once.
So you got pub quiz on
lollies. I did the candy pub quiz.
Nice. It's good to know. But yeah, so I'm back on the journey the best I can, except for eating fucking cake. So, because I never really stopped, there were still some days that I didn't do the shakes, but I did some on the others. It was a ton of fun. And I tried to be more physical over the break. Haven't gone to the gym. I went to the gym once, but obviously with, you know, Omicron, Percy I8 and stuff like that, it's throws a spanner in the balls. So I've been going skating with my son. He's got his little scooter going, absolutely smashing its face in. It was awesome. Watching him just get really good at a scooter in such a short window of time, because he's like 5 and his brain's like a sponge. He just picked that up. And I'm here I am trying to ride half pipes and mini pipes again. It was insane. I haven't done it in forever. And then I got really hurt. So
that was funny. That was funny.
Yeah, I was trying to teach my son how to fall safely. So what the idea is that we would run and jump on the pipe and use it like a slide, because it was the metal pipe. And then just to sort of have a laugh, I kind of threw myself over a spine transfer. and I just kind of like went on my belly. But as I landed, I twisted my leg real weird and just corked the living shit out of my thigh. And
I thought you were going to bring up the fact that you went arse over tit on this kid's
that
scooter.
Was shortly after I rode his small Spider-Man scooter and died. Because my center of gravity was all jacked up because the thing was really low and I dead. Killer in the chat goes, God, I ate so many chocolate balls, caramel balls, and cherry ripe balls. That's a lot of varying tasty, delicious balls. And Zil says, I'm looking good. Thanks, Zil. I have no idea. I can't remember what you look like. Are you still good? I hope you're good. Does Zil look good?
Yeah, Zil's always good.
Yeah, there you go. Well done, Zil.
It depends on how much ramen he's eating today.
But yeah, so if you would like to start your own weight loss journey in 2022, I'm still going. Max is still going. Who knows where it could take you? There is a link in the description. It is bit.ly/FTPmanshake. You don't have to buy anything, man. Just click on the link. Take a look at what's on offer. Who knows? Maybe you will change your life. Max.
Mullet coming in with the sub.
With the resub. He's resubbed for like a bajillion years. 46 months in a row. He comments, and I ate all the balls. The Mullet Show does continue for 46 months to eat the balls. I'm a child. Anyway, this is the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, because it's been like 3 weeks, there's a lot of nothing has happened, but a lot of some things happened. So because we've got a big back end of the show planned, we've just grabbed at some random things for the week. So what happened, Max?
Well, let's talk about the biggest news. Let's talk some PlayStation VR 2.
Yeah, officially named PlayStation VR 2, no space between VR and 2. So it's PlayStation. Oh, there's actually no space. So it's PlayStation VR 2. You've got to say it really quickly. No breaks, no pauses.
So this is coming from the PlayStation blog. Building upon our innovations from PlayStation 5, PlayStation 5, PlayStation VR 2 adds a true next-gen experience with high-fidelity visuals, new sensory features, and enhanced tracking, along with a simplified single-cord setup. Thank you.
Yes!
So, visual fidelity. For a high-fidelity visual experience, the PlayStation VR 2 offers 4K HDR 110-degree field of view and foveated rendering. It renders what you're looking at, so it'll give you a sharper image of what you're actually focusing on and kind of blur out the sides a little bit more, which is great. So with an OLED display, players can expect a display resolution of 2040 per eye and smooth frame rates of 90 to 120 frames per second.
Love it.
Headset-based controller tracking. With inside-out tracking, the PSVR 2 tracks you and your controller through integrated cameras embedded in the headset itself. Your movements and the direction you look are reflected in-game without the need for any external cameras. New sensory features. The PlayStation VR 2 Sense technology combines eye tracking, headset feedback, 3D audio, and the innovative PSVR 2 Sense controller to create an incredibly deep feeling of immersion. Headset feedback is a new sensory feature that amplifies the sensations of in-game actions from the player. It's created by a single built-in motor with vibrations that add an intelligent tactile element, bringing players closer to the gameplay experience. For example, gamers can feel a character's elevated pulse during tense moments, the rush of objects passing close to the character's head, or the thrust of a vehicle as the character speeds forward. Additionally, PlayStation 5's Tempest 3D audio tech makes sounds in the player's surroundings come alive, adding to the new level of immersion.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
We'll go to about the hardware first before we jump into the other thing that was announced. So this all took place at CES. They took to the stage and were like, hey, here's DualSense. Here's the PSVR 2. You gotta say it fast. So a lot of this information is stuff that we already knew. Like we knew about the new controllers, but then we know they're called the Sense controllers. Makes sense with DualSense. It's all kind of a different feel with obviously the haptic feedback, etc. We've got like the resolution we knew about, foveated rendering we knew about. A lot of it's kind of just reaffirming things we already knew. However, one of the biggest advantages for me is no camera, no light, no fucking dildo thingies that look like torches. And it's one cable. And like, I'm still glad that it's cable. I know a lot of people like, why is it not wireless? I think the fidelity that they're wanting, it couldn't be wireless. So, but one cable, one USB-C cable, fine.
One cable is fine.
When you've got a breakout box with four different cables plugged into it at any given time, you drop it down to one, I'm pleased. I'm happy.
The other thing is, I wonder if there's going to be, I'm sure some smart people will manage to find a workaround to be able to play PC VR games if it's just, because it's just a USB-C cable.
I guarantee you, it's at some point.
It's just a USB-C cable. I can't imagine that, you know, it won't work on your PC.
Give it about 45 minutes and someone will work out how to crack it for PC. I give it like less than an hour and someone will have it sussed out. And that's awesome because I presume it's not going to be... This is the one thing, right? The one thing that's different. So when the PSVR 1 came out, it was the cheapest available headset by itself. Obviously, you had to buy a PS4 to go with it. So technically, it came to the same amount. But like, it was the great entry point. And hence why it's the best-selling VR headset in the world, ever. But now the Quest and the Quest 2 are just so cost-effective and portable and wireless and all self-contained. Where do you see this hitting in a dollar value?
It's going to be expensive.
You reckon?
Yeah, so either they're going to sell the hardware at a loss and try and make it up in digital sales for, you know, software, but I mean, it with what's in it and what they're wanting to get out of it, I have to expect that it's expensive.
Yeah, so considering
the fact that the shitty Move controllers are still like $150, I have to assume that the new Sense controllers are going to be at least that, if not more.
Oh yeah.
So
well, how much are like the Vive Grip or whatever?
But that's the other thing. You can also get the Quest 2 for a couple hundred bucks here in Australia. I would have to imagine, friend.
Get close to the mic.
I would have to imagine.
You and I have been talking too casually in rooms without microphones. We've lost our sense of mic placement.
I would have to imagine that they're going to price it similar to that.
Yeah. So from memory,
because obviously they do have to. You do have to have a PlayStation 5.
Yes. Yes, and that's going to be the tough part. So, like for me,
you've already onboarded $750 plus.
I bought PSVR day one because I'm a psychopath, and I remember it being like $500, $600, right about there somewhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if we were in the same ballpark in Australian dollars at least. So Shane's calling $399 USD. To me, that checks out because their point in the chat, no real processing power in the headset. They'll take the hit on hardware like the PS5 Digital Edition. I think that's possible. But I think, obviously, there is still some process. You'd like to think there's some sort of processing, right, in the headset, whether it be about just accelerometers or... But there's got to be something in there, right, that's at least... With a lot of the grunt work now being moved to the headset compared to the PS camera and the fucking Move controllers, I imagine there's some working on in here. But primarily, a lot of the grunt will be taken by the PS5, which is great. The difference is the frequency at which games are released on PSVR, unlike hardware, like console hardware, I don't see them doing it at a loss because they know that with a console, the attach rate for VR is pretty good, so you're confident that people will buy X amount of games, but I don't think it's as predictable or as reliable as a console itself. I could be very wrong there, because I said there is a good attach rate on VR for those that have VR buy a lot of games, or at least initially. I don't know about long-term VR purchases.
I guess the big question is also, is it going to be backwards compatible with the old games?
Well, apparently they're unsure. They've not said anything. So
yeah.
Yeah, like there was an
interview. Like if you upgrade and lose your entire library, that's
going to
hurt.
Like that is going to be a problem, especially like, you know, especially with that attach rate.
I would imagine some games are probably going to be fine. Beat Saber and all of those things are going to be fine. I would imagine
anything that's on PC as well, I think will be fine because the Vive and the Oculus, they use similar tech. So there's not going to be a lot of teaching to change it. I don't think. But like anything that was natively built for the PS4, which requires the move, may be a problem. There you go. That's probably one of the big suits. But second to that, they announced one game. They didn't even say it was a launch game. They just announced a game that is coming to PSVR 2. The first officially announced PSVR 2 title. It's called Horizon Call of the Mountain. Call to the Mountain? Call of the Mountain. Call of the Mountain. So it's a Horizon VR experience. Now, this is something that I know we've heard about for a while. I distinctly remember discussing, and I wouldn't say reporting because we don't really do reporting here. But I know we have certainly discussed the idea of a Horizon VR game prior, and it looks like it was all legit. Now, there's no mention of Aloy in this. It looks like you're playing a different character within the world. Now, this could also tie in with the previous stories around Horizon being a multiplayer game. And I know if anyone's read the comic book, the graphic novel, there's a different character in there. Because, there's a bunch of its places to explain why you're not playing as Aloy. But what do you feel about this? This is cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see that it kind of just reaffirms that this is coming out this year, right?
Yeah.
That they've already got studios working on stuff. It's nice to see, because this is coming from Guerrilla and FireSprite, it's nice to see that FireSprite are already, they kind of, landed in a sprint and kind of just kept going.
See, I would argue that essentially FireSprite were brought in a second party capacity to work on this, and they've done such a good job, they got picked up.
Mm.
That's what I'm
thinking. And then obviously the big rumor is also that they're throwing money at Valve for Half-Life Alyx.
That would be dope. But yeah, for me, it's Half-Life Alyx, if they can get it on here, that's gonna move it, right? That's 100% gonna move it. But for Horizon, I think Horizon's probably the best choice. Because in the chat right now, Shane and Padgett bullshitting about Insomniac and a Spider-Man game and whatnot. That'd be cool. Insomniac, great studio. They themselves have done VR work for Oculus before they got picked up. They do have history within the space. But I as much as swinging within New York would be awesome, horrifying, and motion sickness at the same time, it would be fantastic. However, I think Horizon...
I just want the... Sorry, go.
No, go.
I was going to say, I just want the God of War VR experience where I just row around with Mimir and he just tells me stories.
Yeah.
And I just look around and he just prattles on.
That would be amazing. For me, the reason that I think Horizon is the best example for this, at least in first party capacity as it stands, is scale, right? One thing that VR does amazing is scale. And that game is just littered with shit that is bigger than you, that is cooler than you. So when in the trailer, you're going down this little boat and you look up and you see a long neck and it looks fantastic. However, there is also that concern of that looked really on rails. So my concern is this game on rails? Because I fucking hope not. I don't think it will be, but they intentionally chose a part where you're on rails. Hesitation. Am I preemptively getting nervous here, Max?
I mean, it could just have on-rail sections, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
But, if you look at, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, that was kind of cool. That wasn't on-rails, but it was fun, right?
I do not want Returnal VR.
No, that's how VOMs happen.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, but speaking of studio acquisitions, though, because we're talking about, obviously, FireSprite being picked up, before the break, they dropped a sneaky announcement that Valkyrie Entertainment is now part of the PlayStation Studios, the PlayStation family. So it was picked up, late December. Valkyrie, best known for their support work on God of War, God of War Ragnarok, as well as Halo Infinite and some of the Forza games. They made a game called Guns Up a number of years ago. So I imagine, in very similar to Nixus, this is a pickup in a purely support capacity. And I'm not mad about it at all. I don't know a lot about them, but if they've worked on all these titles, they're somewhat... Once again, if you look at that list, right, they've got first-person shooter support history, excellent. Third-person action adventure support, excellent, because that's also any makes, apparently. sim driving support because they worked on the Forza Motorsport games. They can help, like, the amount of studios that this team could potentially help by looking at their work history is incredibly promising.
Yeah.
What else, Max?
Next up, as of next week, this doesn't overly affect us here in Australia, but next week, Sony will be pulling the PlayStation Now subscription cards from retail stores in the UK. So a lot of people are like, are they doing this because of the rumored joint of PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus? There has been an update in this story. Sony has issued a statement to GamesBeat basically saying that the PlayStation Now cards are being removed in favor of standard PlayStation gift cards. In other words, the company is looking to streamline things. The statement does make no mention of the rumored PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now merging, but making its retail cards easier to understand is perhaps another indication of Sony's desire to consolidate its services.
See, this seems familiar. Like, there was some other company that removed all their specific gift cards. Everyone was like, but like, no, we just swapped it out for dollars. Like, it's the same thing. Rather than buying a PS Now card, you just buy the dollars, and the dollars equate to PS Now.
So, remember when bloody Xbox had Microsoft points that you had to purchase instead of just putting everything in a dollar value?
Yeah, that was weird. Ugh. But I'm glad we're not dealing with that. So, like, yeah, so, because one of the other things, I didn't think we really talked about that either. Did we talk about Spartacus? I don't think we did. Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, you go. So this is all adding fuel to the whole Spartacus rumors, which once again doesn't really affect us here in Australia because we still don't have PS Now. We'll get it one day, I imagine. Today's not that day. Do you think this is fuel to that fire?
Makes sense.
Yeah?
I mean, it does make sense. If they're going to consolidate their services, it makes sense to... Pardon me? I mean, the big one is... Are they still selling the cards for PlayStation Plus? Yes. Or are they getting rid of them and they're just selling like, here is a $50 credit for the PlayStation Store. Use it as you will.
Touche.
I guess touché. If that goes away, then yes. I guess that's a big indicator that they're probably merging those two services.
That is a good way to look at it. I didn't think of that. Wait and see.
Also things that are getting discontinued. According to a new report from Bloomberg, who cite anonymous sources familiar with the situation, apparently Sony's initial plan was to discontinue the PlayStation 4 at the end of 2021, with the PlayStation 5 taking over as the company's sole games console on the market. However, logistical and production hiccups throughout last year saw the platform holder reverse that plan, instead ensuring PlayStation 4 will continue to stock shelves. The report states that about 1 million units of last-gen machines will be produced this year in order to alleviate some of the pressure on the PlayStation 5. A Sony spokesperson told Bloomberg that the company did not, in fact, plan to cease PlayStation 4 production, pointing out it's, quote, one of the best-selling consoles ever, and that there is always crossover between generations.
So Xbox essentially announced this week as well that they are ceasing production on the Xbox One. So none of the original, none of the
One S. I mean, the Xbox, the One S was discontinued months ago.
Yeah, so like they're hard cutting.
I think they're basically just saying we're now no longer doing the One X.
Yeah, so it's it's pretty much just the series now. Which, so look, it makes sense. Once again, the backwards compatibility of the series S and X is great. Like, it's ballsy on them, but I guess people are having an easier time at least getting an S. Maybe not getting an X, but S seems to be building pretty well. So they do have outcomes where PlayStation is just fucked. They just cannot make enough to meet demand at the moment. Simply put. What are you smirking about?
No, I agree.
Well, because as you are the owner of a Series X, my understanding is you still haven't used it.
I cheated with my Xbox, with my Series X. I rang up Telstra and said, hey, can I have one? They said, yep. And I got it like 2 weeks later.
Well, my understanding is like, yeah, you still barely use it.
I use it only to play Forza. My Forza box.
Well, that's fine.
Until Fable comes out. And then it's my favorite.
Well, you say that, and then until like the bunch of the cool Games Pass games come out this year, and then suddenly.
Yeah, Games Pass is. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's hard. It's really hard to argue with that value.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Anything else we should touch upon?
Dying Light 2 is going to take you 500 hours if you really want to give it a good honk and go.
See, this is the interesting thing. So, like, when this news dropped, the internet shat their pants. Max messed his pants. Because he's like, 500 hours of Dying Light. Everyone's complaining. Myself, I'm like, I can't play 500 hours. Max is like, I can. So, it was a very interesting feel.
Techland's PR team quickly rectified that and said, if you just want to do the main campaign, it's probably about 20 hours. The 500 hours is every single collectible, all the trophies, all the... If there's multiple endings, if there's this or this,
Absolutely, everything.
It's the 110% on the save file.
That is ridiculous.
I'm so keen.
Like, to me, that just seems a lot. And I imagine a stack of repetition.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine that it's filled with fetch quests or, you know. But I've said it a few times. It's one of those games that the game can be made or broken by who you play it with. Because I'm going to play this game cooperatively. It's how I played the first one.
Speaking of, they announced they dropped a big trailer today to talk about the co-op. It's also on their Twitch. They're on their latest episode of The Dying Pod or whatever the fuck it's called. They're talking about it all in terms of a co-op. So, Max, I know you'll be checking that out. Because ideally, we'll be playing it. There's the plan. I know you'll be playing it for sure. I'll do what I can to get on it too. Because I enjoyed the first one.
February's going to be rough.
Yeah, we're busy, Feb.
There's 500 hours in February, right? Before Destiny 2 Witch Queen comes out, and then Elden Ring,
and then Horizon, and
Sifu. I'm not gonna have time for Horizon. That's all on you. So you better finish. You better finish.
Get my backlogs out.
You better finish Zero Dawn before. that's pretty much it.
Beautiful. So we pretty much just ran through all the news. Once we come back next week on our regular scheduled programming, we will get into the week breakdown of news. But we just pretty much grab
if there is news to break down that week.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's still very early. Get ready for a news shitstorm in February.
Though. Oh yeah, shit's about to blow up.
Oh, there is a rumored PlayStation State of Play or showcase. In February.
Oh.
Rumored.
Well, yeah, I imagine it's right just before. But look, if anything, as we learned from PlayStation in the past, when they have a new release coming out, just before they release it, they'll bury it with some other new news. So I imagine just before Horizon drops, they'll bury it with something. And they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. And then just before Gran Turismo comes out, they'll bury it with something else.
They're already burying Gran Turismo by releasing Horizon a week before it.
Yeah, like 2 weeks before it. Like, that is insane. Absolutely insane.
At least they're different genres, I guess.
Very, very true.
Might hit a different niche groups, but...
So, speaking of games that are coming out this year, Max, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do the backlog?
Oh, yeah, let's do our backlogs first. Yeah,
all right, cool. So, one of the challenges that Max and I want to do is now the nature of the space we work in, being content creators that we are, and we are in a very lucky and privileged position where we have been able to earn our place in order to receive review copies, right? So, with that in mind, we are constantly moving on to the next game, And as a result, that leaves us into, just not finishing games sometimes. Like, we do our very, very best to finish games for review. We get as far in as we possibly can, or at least enough for us to have a grip on it. Like, because some games you can review without finishing it. Preferably, we finish it, and 8 out of 10 times we do. Well, I know you do. You're better than me at it. But
I'm just going to stop picking long RPGs to
review. You're like, hey, can I review, what was it?
Can I do Tales of Arise? And then it took me 5 weeks to
to finish it. So one of the things we're wanting to do is to try hit our backlog. So although we haven't really nailed out all the thoughts and processes of it, Max and I are going to have a backlog challenge. The idea is that we each pick three games, one that is 10 hours long, one that is 20 hours long, and one that is 30 plus. With the idea is there's one big honker, one medium, and one game that you can probably chip over in a weekend if we really wanted to. So this is where we get into this. Now, none of us, like, we will discuss the consequences of not completing the goal shortly, but let's go through our games first. Now, Max, what is the game that is under 10 hours that you feel that you need to be pushed, to be challenged to complete this year?
I'm going to finish Death's Door because I'm sick of everyone telling me that it's a game of year contender, and I can't deny that because I haven't played it. I've played like the first two levels and that was it. I kind of fell off it because I picked other stuff up.
I was going to say, like, so why did it fall in the backlog?
I think I started, it was actually the first game I purchased when I got my Xbox back in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just played long RPG after long RPG for for review, and it kind of just got put to the side.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's a good sit. I said I finished it in just over 10 hours, so like it fits within the criteria.
Apparently, I can do it in 58 minutes.
You can do it in 58 minutes if you really want to get through it. On the other hand, I want to go back and finish In Sound Mind. So In Sound Mind was this great little game that I picked up last year. We received a review copy for, I should say. It was all about the idea of a psychologist sort of losing their mind, and the levels were really cool about it. So the first level was this ghostly woman who hated seeing her reflection because she essentially had like body dysmorphia and stuff. It's very, very cool. Great concept. Second level, it was great. And then I just sort of dropped off. I think another game came up and I was like, oh, I will come back to this. It's still installed on the PS5, but I haven't gone back. So for that reason, In Sound Mind is my under 10 hours. Now, I cannot verify if it's under 10 hours. I just know that I've played enough of it that it will actually get me in less than 10 hours to finish. Max, you're 20 plus.
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
That's going back.
Yeah, so from memory, I got pretty close to finishing it. We were provided a review copy of it, and I'd say three quarters of the way through it. And then, yeah, once again, in the nature of the things that we do, I think something else came out.
It also released in November or December of that year. Like, I was able to get credits on it because it made my Game of the Year list. But for you, you just didn't get across that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going back to. Because I really enjoyed that game. I kind of just... It's one of those things of once I picked something else up, it was kind of, out of sight, out of mind, and kind of, went into the backlog.
That's all right. So for me, my 20 plus hours and making its return, because I'm pretty sure last year I set myself the goal to finish this game. And because last year I set the goal of like a Resident Evil 4 and playing 7 again ahead of 8. So I got those ones. But the one that, because with knowing Forbidden West was on the point, it's at the path at some point, spoilers, my 20 plus hours is Horizon Zero Dawn. Now I put like 20-ish hours to it back in the day at launch. Something distracted me. I was able to finish it ahead of review. Josh at the time finished it, so he was our main review person for it. Where now I need to go back and finish it ahead. Ideally, ahead of Forbidden West. That's going to be my goal, getting it done in the next month. But I did start it again last year. I did get like 10-ish hours into it. So when it being like 30 plus hours long, I've taken a third of it off. Smooth sailings from here on out. So Horizon Zero Dawn for me. It's also really bad that that's on my list of games I've never finished. It's the same way that you've never finished an Uncharted game or played an Uncharted game.
My wife played them. I watched her do it.
That's fair. But it isn't. Fine. It is. Hunker.
I spoiled it earlier. Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Like, if I'm going to go big, I may as well go big. So I've been playing that for the better part of this month. And I'm going to attempt to finish that by the year's end.
Very nice.
And it should take me about that long to do it.
I reckon it will. I reckon it will. Now, are we just calling story credits?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, sweet. Because, like, I know that's going to be a prick. No, I'm saying it's going to be a prick to, like as finished as much as you possibly can, Valhalla.
I mean, it depends on what's your big honking game.
Oh, yeah. So, my big honking game, also, Padge says you disgust him. It's because probably you're playing.
I think it's because I've never played an Uncharted game.
Oh, yeah, that part. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah, it very much is. Are you going to see the movie?
No. It looks terrible.
We are seeing that fucking movie.
Fine. I mean, it still looks terrible.
Oh, it's going to be bad, but we're going to see it. Mine.
Well, I know what's going on if I haven't played the games.
I don't know. I doubt they even played the games. My big honking game is Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, I did play it at release, obviously. It came out on a day of PAX. That also Assassin's Creed Origins or Odyssey, one of the two. Origins. Wait. Yes, and then Mario Odyssey came out all in the same day, plus Wolfenstein 2, all in the same week. So I put as much time as I could into Red Dead, but then Wolfenstein 2 was so fucking good that I ended up playing that. Oh, no, that's not right, because it came out the year before. When did that come out? It came out the same year as God of War, but it can't be right, because...
That's 2018.
Yeah, it was 2018, because 2017 was Wolfenstein 2. Then I am totally wrong. I have no idea why I didn't play Red Dead 2. I completely threw myself in my story.
I can tell you why I didn't finish Red Dead 2.
Why?
Because I got to the end and went, I know how this ends because this is a prequel game. And I'm like, I'm done now.
Yeah. So I myself, I tried to pick this back up last year and I played it for a good hunk of time. And then I got distracted by Red Dead Online with Craig. And he and I just did rootin' tootin' cowboy shooting. And I never went back to the story. So I've tried to play it three times now. And I'll just go back and continue the save that I'm currently running through. And I think I can get it done by the end of the year. Now, this is where the chat can get involved. And those playing at home. We won't make a decision today. Because we want to see, for those that watch the show, not on Twitch, what should our punishments be for not getting these done? We need some sort of something for us to not get it. Spider-Man and Odyssey were the big ones at the same time as Red Dead, says Padge. So Spider-Man, I was spending time with Spider-Man. That can't be right. No, it might be right. I remember. So what's the punishment, Max? What are you thinking? How do we ensure that we get across the line on these? Is it cash money? Is it a pizza? Is it a full body waxing? Wait, the full body waxing?
That'll be too expensive.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm a relatively hairless man, so this might work in my favor.
the good old fashioned six pack.
Good old six pack?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's go with this. Okay. We got the three. The first one, if you don't get it done, you owe him a drink.
Yeah.
Second one, you don't get it done, you owe him a sixer. Okay. The big one, you don't get it done, you owe him a slab.
Sounds fair.
Sounds fair?
Sounds good.
It works in the same scale as the idea?
Yeah.
I'm going to write this down so I don't forget. Tier one, drink.
Penny. Tinny.
Drink / tinny. Tier two, sixer. Tier three, slabs. That's a pretty good deal. Neither you or I drink all that much. Oh, Ryan has to kiss his Max's Series X and film it. That's a risk. I have to get a matching fucking Xbox tattoo. No, that's too much. That's too much. That's way too much.
That's too much. Look at him. He's already saying that he's not going to finish his backlog.
I know. Like,
he's like getting a tattoo. It's just too much.
I'm
not finishing these games.
Yeah, it's 100% not going to happen. I don't have enough time. But anyways, chat, let us know whether you think the drinks is a sufficient challenge. Let us know. Jump in there. What are you yelling at me? What are you rolling in the... Is the fan not doing its job?
Oh, no, I turned the fan off because I thought my mic was picking it up, but I don't think it was.
No.
So I might turn it back on.
Turn it back on.
It's fucking 32 degrees in this room. It's gross.
It's sweaty up in this place. Like, it's turn so that, gross. Turn that fan on. But anyway, so now let's head into the 2022 video games draft. So this is the third year that we have done this. First year, I won. Second year, Max demolished me. So the idea is Max
I won
and
enough
I,
for 2 years.
Max and I have 8 games each. What essentially happens, we pick the 8 games from a pool of releases that were made by the PopC community through our Facebook group. That's the pool of games that we can work from, right? So some games that could be good winners aren't in that list, therefore we can't pull them. Second, the way these games are scored are by their Metacritic. So if there's a PlayStation 5 version of it, that's the Metacritic score we pull from. PS4 version, same thing. Speaking of things stolen from Padge, draft time. Very, very correct.
It's true. Padge invented the draft bet.
He did. Padge invented the draft back in, year of the Padge 32 or whatever it was. He invented the draft. But we pilfered. Fuck it. Who cares? We and every other podcast ever pilfered the idea. Now, because last year, half of my games never fucking released, I'm at a disadvantage. I lost. Max lost the first year because he was ballsy, and he was young. And then you
didn't learn from my mistake.
Yeah, Max was young and immature and was new to the biz, and I used that to my advantage. Then the second year, I came in cocky and confident and failed, and then a pandemic really threw a spanner in the works as well. So part of that negotiation was in order to kick one of my games off the list, I would have to bring 2 games across with me. So those 2 games that are coming with me to my list, therefore I only really have 6 new games to pick from. Hogwarts Legacy. And Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights could low-key be like a dark horse.
See, this could work 2 ways. So I shot myself. And they're like, look, I'll take a hit and I'll take these 2 games next year. Not knowing how they're going to go. But this could really work in my favor. Like, Gotham Knights is shaping up to look okay. Not quite as good as Suicide Squad, but it's looking okay. Hogwarts Legacy, they've gone dead quiet. Warner Brothers have come out and they keep dropping little snippets on Twitter and shit. But there's nothing really letting us know that is going to drop this year. So it's an interesting space. It's we're unsure where it's going to go. So this could work in my favor. It could shoot me in the foot. Yeah. And what we've done, and Max and I had discussed, we're like, well, where should we put these in my list? Max goes, chuck them in your 7th and 8th. That's fine by me. Thank you. I will agree. I will shake hands on that. And it is. So my 7th and my 8th pick. My 7th pick is Hogwarts Legacy. My 8th is Gotham Knights. So in order just to rub it in for me, I think, Max, you should take the first pick this year. Normally, the loser takes the first pick. But because I've only got X amount of games, I think you should go first. For no reason other than funsies. And tell me why.
Forspoken will be my first pick.
Forspoken. Why is Forspoken your first pick?
It has got some huge names behind it. Everything that we've seen so far looks absolutely fantastic. The gameplay looks brilliant. Gary Witter has written the story for it, so the story's going to be a safe bet. It's fantastic. Forspoken will be my number one pick this
interesting
year.
Interesting call. There's a lot of potential in there. It's a brand new IP. There's a lot at risk, but I think it looked really good. Had that weird fucking, like, traditional angel wing eye thing. Like, there's a lot of potential in Forspoken, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it from the footage that I saw, from that gameplay, whatever.
You're nuts.
It's not for me. I don't think it's going to... I think the shift between fantasy world and real world might be of a disadvantage, but I think it might do well, at least. I'm going to play it safe and go with what was my first pick of last year. It is Horizon Forbidden West. Now, when I made that pick last year, there wasn't a date for it. There was nothing. And then I got pushed into this year. I was like, fuck. It has a confirmed date. It is coming next month. They've been promoting it. It hasn't gone gold yet, but I could be near on any day now. I'm feeling it in my waters. And I think this may do near on better than Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, Horizon Zero Dawn reviewed exceptionally well, but there were still a number of glaring problems and challenges with it that people had. And I think that came from Guerrilla and their moving experience into the space. They were running on the new engine. They were the first time out of first person shooters, because everything they've done before that was Killzone. There is enough space here that will give that they've learnt, they've grown, and I think that there is a potential for this to be an absolute for the fences release. Max?
Elden Ring, number 2.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't.
I mean, that kind of goes without saying. I don't think, you know, this is personally my most anticipated game this year, and it's right around the corner. So, it's hard though, because it's hard to review a game like Elden Ring, because it does have that lack of accessibility, and there's always the reviewer bias of this game is too difficult for me, I can't beat it, therefore I can't review it well. So it'll be an interesting score, mm-hmm. but we'll have to wait and see. I have high hopes for it.
You're feeling it? You're feeling confident?
Yeah.
So I'm having a look at the list we've got here. Now, interestingly enough, we put it in there, but we can't pick them because no one in the community selected them. So that was Dying Light 2, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Two Point Campus. We can't pull from that list. They're three, which is disappointing. Like, Dying Light 2, I thought it was going to do well. Ghostwire Tokyo could be a hot mess, as I'm feeling right now, because everyone's super quiet. So I'm going to go... Hang on, how many... What do we choose from? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, we've got enough. Cool. I'm going to go with a Plague Tale Requiem. Now, the reason being is not because I like mice. I fucking hate mice. But I, once again, this game was received so well. It was so loved. It did a really good job. Focus Home smashed it. I think that they've taken what was great about the first, and they're going to move it, because like, there was talk about more combat, obviously coming to the next gen consoles. They're really going to take advantage of the extra processing power and smash it with more rats on the screen than I'm comfortable to see. But I feel that they'll learn from the previous one and go with it and do well. That's what I'm thinking. That's where my brain's at. About you, Max?
My next pick will be Ollie Ollie World 2. Welcome
Wait,
to Ollie.
Is that on the list?
I believe so.
It is. Ollie Ollie World is on there. Why yeah. were you picking Ollie Ollie World?
So, I think this could be the little indie guy that could this year.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was great. 2D side-scrolling skateboarding game. What's not to love?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it could be the dark horse this year.
Okay. See, this is like, okay, Max is already playing the smart game. He's picked the big hitter with Elden Ring. He's got a sort of a second tier with Forspoken. He has gone super indie in Ollie Ollie World. I went Horizon, big fucking hitter. Plague Tale, middle hitter. I'm going to go balls to the wall again. I'm going to go big hitter. I'm going to not learn from my mistakes at all last year. And I'm going God of War Ragnarok. I'm going to rely. I'm feeling confident about the PlayStation first parties. Does this game have a date yet? No. Is it expected to come out? Apparently the rumor mill right now is the end of September. They've got it marked for the 31st or whatever. Placeholder date at the end of Q3. Not feeling confident, but I'm feeling it's around that window. I, unlike last year, who that was my last pick. That was my balls to the wall, knowing full well that it wasn't your drop in 2021. I'm feeling it this year, but I'm gonna go for the first party studios, God of War Ragnarok. And also the reason being is fucking God of War. God of War 2018 is one of my favorite games of all fucking time. It can only be better. Now, saying that though, I do have some potential concerns about it. I mean that in terms of like knowing that it was essentially supposed to be an expansion that grew, is a potential challenge, I guess, in the way that may cause some problems, or at least from an expectation standpoint. And with the game being near, the first one being near on perfection, trying to match that, just people's high expectations may cause it to bump a couple steps down just because it didn't meet them. But it's a risk I'm willing to take, because I feel it's going to be fucking fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. What's next?
Next up on my list will be Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yay! Nice.
They've basically taken everything I love from Borderlands 2 DLC, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, and they've made a full game out of it. It's that beautiful mixture of tabletop RPG and video game RPG, and it literally has my name written all over it. I think it's going to be fantastic. Tiny Tina is such a wonderful character in that franchise, and I have a feeling it's going to do really well.
I'm with you. I think it will do well, at least do like 80s. I'm feeling like playing the one shot
numbers game.
Playing the one shot, really, really enjoying it. Fleshing out for a full game, giving it 100% focus. It looks rad. I'm really excited for it. I'm gonna go balls to the wall again, Max.
Take the game that I want.
I'm playing Dead Space. The Dead Space remake made the list. I think learning from the love of Dead Space, like obviously Loss of Visceral is a bit shit. EA, not that great. It is a shoot in the dark because it may go great, it may go poor, but at least that pre-rendered CG footage looked pretty sweet. So what one did you not want me to take?
Oh, I'm going to take Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, I don't want to fucking pick Final Fantasy 16. Ew.
With Yoshi P leading that game, the director for Final Fantasy Online, I think that is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm a Final Fantasy sucker from way back, so.
See, Max, Final Fantasy 16 is not coming out this year. It is not coming out this year.
Oh, you can say that.
It is not. It is not.
It's coming out.
In the same way that, as Paul in the chat says, I was going so well, Dead Space probably not coming out this year. Final Fantasy 16, not happening. Not fucking happening.
We'll see.
I appreciate your gusto.
I mean, you are the king of picking games that aren't coming out this year, so I should probably.
That is very, very true. That is one thing that I am exceptionally good at. I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to.
What number is this for you?
This is number five. This is number five.
Number five. So your second last pick.
My second last pick. Neither is Dead Space Champ Patch. I know. Let me see. Oh, no, I better not do that because that's going to be a bad choice. I'm going to go with this. Now, this one I'm not sure on, but I think it might be an interesting choice. I'm going to go with Rainbow Six Extraction. I'm going to try at least get one in the first month. You know, try get some early scores on the board. Because, you know.
Then you can win by default if nothing comes out.
Correct.
I know that game plan.
Because right now I'm planning 6-8 months ahead. That is a concern for me. Because that fucked me up last time. We're here. If we can get some stuff that's coming out in the first 6 months, I know it's going to happen. And I'm confident the Rainbow Six Extraction's coming out. And I think it will do okay.
I cannot believe GT's not on this list.
Oh my God, Gran Turismo isn't on the list.
My next pick will be Sifu.
Nice.
Sifu coming out in back end of Feb.
Yep.
We've seen it a few times. It looks great. I'm pretty keen. It's also that smaller title. I have a feeling that it could do well.
Yeah, I think it can do well. The only thing I think with Sifu that might be a problem will be its difficulty. If it's anything like Absolver, which I know was...
Absolver was brutal.
Yeah, it was enjoyed by those that could understand it, those that could grab onto it. But I do think that for many of them, for many people, it will actually be a detriment to it. And I think it will probably lose a lot of points or a lot of thoughts because it's super hard. All right. So we are really running this list like something fast. There is not much left. Of anything that I think would do well. Like now, friend of the show, Buddy, did throw a lot of indies in there. And they're games I'm not aware of. So it's tough for me to pick them. I'm contemplating going... this is my last pick, by the way.
This is your last pick.
This is my last pick. I'm contemplating Suicide Squad. Let's rely so heavily on Warner Brothers for 3 of my 8 picks. That seems like a really bad decision. So I'm not going to make that call just yet, I don't think. Let's see what else we got on the list here. Destiny 2, The Witch Queen. It's technically an expansion, but it's coming out. I'm feeling confident. Stray was a pretty cool little fucking...
Cyberpunk
cat game. Oxenfree 2, Little Devil Inside, which I don't think will ever come out. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. You put in Avatar game for some fucking reason. Goodbye Volcano High. I'd rather punch myself in the dick than vote for that like furry looking game. So my choices are really kind of poo here. Lego Star Wars is on that list as well. That's been delayed so many times. I don't know whether that's ever going to come out. And like, do people even care about Star Wars anymore? Like unless fucking Mandalorian or Boba Fett's in it, like no one's going to give a poo. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going Destiny 2. I'm going for the Witch Queen expansion. Now, for me, I have no investment in it. The only reason I feel confident about it is you're excited for it, which is a good indicator for me. Bungie do a good job. From what you're saying, their big expansions tend to be like big hitters. And then it's a safe bet for me.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in like next month. So once again, I will have runs on the board. Whether they're good runs, doesn't matter. This game got delayed. I could only presume it was delayed for good reasons. To make it better, hopefully. I'm out. So then I've got Hogwarts Legacy and Gotham Knights. I'm fucking done.
So I've got 3 to pick.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Well, I will take Suicide Squad.
Yep.
I will take Saints Row.
Oh my God. I went right past Saints Row. What? Fuck you. Fuck you, Destiny 2.
And I'll take Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, Shredder's Revenge.
You're at 8. That's it.
Am I at 8? I thought I needed to pick 3.
No, Forspoken, Elden Ring, Ollie Ollie, Tiny Tina's, Final Fantasy.
Oh, that's Sifu, right. I picked first. Suicide Squad, my apologies.
And then Saints Row.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, you'll have done. I'll have the runs all right. I'll be shitting myself for this year. I should have gone Saints Row instead of Extraction. Yeah,
I cannot believe you didn't. I cannot believe
it. I completely skipped Saints Row on the list, hence why I went Extraction. Should have gone Saints Row. It's too late now. So my list, I just read out Max's list. My list stands Horizon Forbidden West, A Plague Tale Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, The Dead Space Remake, Rainbow Six Extraction, Destiny 2 Witch Queen, Hogwarts Legacy, and Gotham Knights. Now, early indicators, chat, how do you see this going? Let me know. Do you think Max is going to come out winning or I'm going to come out winning? Let us know on social medias, etc. for those of you that aren't watching the show live. Honestly, I think I may have made some of the mistakes of last year. I think I'm relying on big hitters, mostly because the indie space isn't in my wheelhouse. So a lot of the indies that Buddy put up there just were unknown to me. Where I'm relying on big shit to come. God of War could still get delayed because it doesn't have a release date yet. It's probably going to sit September, October. Rainbow Six Extraction is right around the corner. So that's promising. Like it's using the same like operators as Siege. So for those that love Siege might really enjoy it. So it might have a big thumbs up there. But then because it's the same things as Siege, but not the same as Siege, it's going to be risky. Yeah. What about you, Pat? How about you, Max? How you feel about your list?
Yeah, I'm happy with my list. I've got a few, like I said, I've got a few of those games that are going to be the games themselves are difficult, and that could reflect poorly upon a review score. Hopefully that's not the case. And then, yeah, obviously, new IP in Forspoken. And then there's the couple of risky picks of, will they actually come out this year?
Well, Padge in the chat goes, it's going to be tight, but fuck, both of you are picking way too many games that won't come out. And I think that's the biggest problem. The biggest challenge that we're facing right now is release dates as they stand is pretty much between now and April. No one knows what's fucking happening after April.
I mean, the other thing is, we also had a very curated list to pick from, and Gran Turismo would have been on my list, but apparently no one's been on the list.
Yeah, because we had to go by the list that we were given. That's part of the challenge, right? Like, if we had free reign to pick any game we wanted, our list would have been very, very different. Like, over at Player2.net.au, go check it out, peoples. Like, they can pick whatever games they want. So they can pick Breath of the Wild 2. They can pick all these. So we're picking games that are only coming, that are coming to PlayStation and from the list that we are given. So we are very, very stuck. But that's fun. That's part of the challenge. You know? Am I going to fail my list again? Very likely. This is the rubber band year. This is the year where the winner is decided. You know? Best 2 out of 3. And then whatever happens from then on, who knows? But...
And then we rinse and repeat next year. It becomes best of 5.
Yeah, then best of 5, best of 7, and then until we're all old and done. But there we go. That's exciting. I'm happy with that. Like, I'm good. It's good to be back in the flow, Max. We're at the end of the episode. It's been a good hour and a half, roundabout. It's good times. It's good times. Are you excited for the year?
I wish we knew more than just February.
Yeah.
We know a little bit of March. I wish there was more that we knew.
I agree.
Everything is just still so unknown.
There is so much unknown. Who knows what's going to happen? Everything's up in the air.
I think, yeah, after... What is it? After GT at the start of March, there's nothing that I can think of off the top of my head that's a guarantee.
I think if developers have learned anything from COVID, is that they can't
never put a concrete date on it.
Don't put date on shit. And I think that's the problem that we're going to have. So I think over this year, we're going to see a lot more of those. Oh, it's 3 months before release, or like 5 months before release, they'll drop the date. Like, Ragnarok won't be given a date until they're fucking confident. And like, that may be a toughie. But I do see them like being in a position where they have to drop it at the back end of this year at some point. Whether it slips from its original idea of September or October into like November, possibly December. But yeah, it's going to be, there's a lot at risk here. There's a lot to work with. Scary times. Anyways, thank you everyone for joining us back for the first episode of the year. We did for those watching on Twitch, we did a special Friday matinee. We did a little bit earlier on there. We normally record on a Saturday. We're busy this weekend. So we did some things on a Friday. We did it before before Max's kid goes to bed. He's like, the wife and daughter are out for a little while. Let's record while I can. It's going to make life easier for me. I'm like, I can make that happen. Let's do it. So big thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the year of content. If you stay that long, we certainly hope that you do. We look forward to all of it. We really hope that 2022 could be a big year for us, and we essentially have to ask you to help us, whether that be tell your friends, tell your family, share the love, help us become the best place in Australia made in Australia even, to talk PlayStation.
Well, now that Spotify has ratings, please.
Yes, go give us some rating, give some love on Spotify. Get some downloads going. Just install it on your friends' fucking phones. Just make it download.
Next time you're in the Telstra shop, just all on all of the phones in there.
Yep. Done. Easy. You know, because we like one of our dreams is to, one of our big goals is to be the destination for Australia, right? So when PlayStation Australia do something cool, they talk to us. They talk to us, they talk to Padge, you know, like, because we're going to get Padge on a lot this year because he's second to, like, us. He's one of the best PlayStation peoples in the country. We need him involved. We're going to do a lot of work together, and we're going to be the best place to fucking hear PlayStation, let me tell you. Is that cocky? Yes. Is it arrogant? Yes. Is it ignorant? Probably. It's a bunch of those words. Anyways, Max, send us home.
Well, everyone, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to... Sorry, Pat just in the chat and just fucking like, what the hell, man? If you want to join this conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist where you can watch us record the show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. That is done on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you are on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.